darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of the program, joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. I was particularly disturbed with the, shall I say, the intellectual degradation that has become ubiquitous in our society. In the screening room, we have producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs, where you generate an income, to your full-time jobs, where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, and welcoming that primacy to guide and to govern and to guard your engagement. You know, we're going to talk a bit during today's program about the reality of engaging the world and embracing what God has designed as being maximally beneficial to us as individuals. When we reject God's way, when we reject God's order, well, we may not recognize it initially, but we're putting ourselves in a position for just, frankly, suffering and pain. And, you know, it's the VeggieTales theorem. God's way is the best way. But we, you know, in a very hard-headed, fallen Adam fashion, run headlong to go our own way, and then we end up suffering the consequences as a result. But if we would have the wisdom to recognize that there is a God and he is not us, we would put ourselves in a position to far better be a part of the kavashing that God has ordained for us as his image bearers. So as you are making your transition, may I challenge you to take seriously the necessity of making disciples. You know, when you survey the landscape in our country, and I cannot help but offer this assessment because I see it everywhere. You know, we had a wonderful time in Kentucky at the Culture Proof Conference 2026, at the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum, and, you know, being with people who are committed to this, frankly, to the same things I'm committed to. It was heartening for me, encouraging for me, and I pray was to every person who attended as well. But when we survey the landscape in our society, man, we're looking at the evidence of carnage that has befallen our society as a result of rejecting God's way. The outsourcing of the cultivation of the hearts and mind, the dearth in disciple formation and disciple making has created the chasm that has given rise to things like, you know, the Democratic Socialists of America, who finally feel like they can say with a whole chest that, you know, they're working to just subvert and overthrow their own country. The ones who are citizens, that is. this is what they have said. You know, they had a party meeting not too long ago where they just decided, yeah, you know, we just want to get rid of the Supreme Court and the presidency. Yeah, just get rid of it. Amend the Constitution to get rid of it and to replace it with a one body that is both executive and judiciary, but is subordinate to Congress and it's appointed by Congress. That's what they said. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. To the word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 16, Verse 18, and this provides a scriptural anchor to what we are already discussing. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says this, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I'll start with the end of the verse and work backwards. The word fall there is translated into English as fall from the Hebrew word kishalon, kishalon, which literally means calamity. So when you see fall, don't think, you know, slip and fall in the grocery store or something like that. Or don't think somebody's walking down the street and, oops, they trip and they fall. No. Don't even think, oh, I've fallen and I can't get up. No, the word kishalon means calamity. The term fall is the translators employed by the translators here because it is a calamitous fall that results in great loss, lasting distress and suffering, but it also is a sudden damage. That's the thing. It's a sudden damage that yields lasting distress, great loss, and calamitous in its scope. Now back to the beginning of the verse. The Bible tells us this. Pride goes before the destruction. One of the things that's indicative, or should I say intrinsic, to this pride that's mentioned here is that the pride is blinding. That's the thing. The pride is blinding so that those who are poised for destruction cannot see it. Cannot see it. The pride is so inebriating, it's so self-elevating that it is blinding. It is blinding. So the destruction that is imminent to flow from the pride, and the kishalon that is coming for the haughty, with the hubris display and the hubris heart condition, they don't see it. It's not seen. It's not seen. You know, I when I do presentations in a couple of the homeschool conferences I've ministered at this week, I've explained, you know, we've spent trillions of dollars on what we describe as education. I call it mind cultivation. But we call our system of instruction the education system. We spent trillions of dollars on education. Yet we have a significant contingent of the government high school graduates who can't read on grade level. I've shared stories with you guys about the difficulties in mathematics. Yet we spent trillions. You know, at what point do we stop and consider maybe the objective of the people that are receiving this money is not the same as the ones that's being not the same as the objectives that are being stated publicly? Like, what kind of fools do we have to be that we spend trillions of dollars and when we see, oh, man, you know, the babies can't read. Oh, here's a solution. Let's spend more money on it. Does that make sense? Or how about this? You know, I made this statement. You know, one of the things that's a major currency in the education system in our country is standardized testing. And I just ask a very simple question. Have you ever met a standardized child? God has given us in the literal, tangible, physical imprint where every single person has a different fingerprint. Yet we're going to create a system of instruction that the currency of it is standardization. Just think about it. Just stop and think about it. You know, I interviewed Dr. Kathy Cook on my show, and I'm not saying this because I'm some, oh, man, be pamby emotional thing. The reality is there's no such thing as a non-smart human being. The reality is we're all smart, we're just smart in different ways. And so because we're smart in different ways, you overlay this exercise in idiocy and seeking to standardize God's multifaceted image bearers. And then we draw away from that. Well, if you can sit in the corner, get a book, and memorize, well, then we say you're smart. But we have people with all kinds of kinesthetic capabilities. build anything, put things together. They're physically engaged. If they're allowed to be physically engaged with the stimulus, physically engaged with the material, they will perform equally, if not better, than anybody else who was a memorizer. But we know, you see, that child is intelligent and that one is not. Do you know where that idea comes from, guys? That idea has come from, it's the infiltrated sewage that has flowed from Darwinian evolutionary thought processes. It is the sewage that has seeped in that stems from survival of the fittest methodologies. Some, according to Darwin, have the might. And because of the might, it makes right for them to be advanced, for them to be this, for them to be that. Instead of us recognizing, man, there are lots of people who think differently. They convey information differently and they receive information differently. You know, Dr. Gary Chapman has made, you know, lots of money and aided lots of people in the relationships and specifically in marriage preparation, and saying the issue between spouses usually is not a deficiency in love, it's a deficiency in the communication of that love. You know, for one spouse, it's quality time is the primary love language. For the other spouse, acts of service is the primary love language. What you have for it, hypothetically, let's say it's a husband, acts of service is his love language, where he's cleaning the gutters, he's cutting the grass, he's washing the cars, he's you know, making sure the cars are filled with gas all the time. He's fixing everything around the house. And he's doing this, why? Because he loves his wife. And it's the primary way he communicates that love and affection. But his wife has a disposition where quality time is her primary love language. So though husband may be doing all of these things, wife will say, but I don't know if you love me. And Dr. Chapman says the issue is not a deficiency in love, it's a deficiency in communication. So what's necessary for the spouses is husband needs to learn what his wife's love language, primary love language. Wife needs to learn what his husband's primary love language. And once that revelation is ascertained and discerned, then what happens? Wife goes, oh, he does love me. He just communicates it this way. Husband goes, oh, wife is not a nagger. She just needs me to communicate to her in her love language. We understand that in terms of love languages. Why don't we understand that in terms of education? That some people, if you put them in a corner in a book, it's like torture. They need to engage with nature. They need to engage with the elements. They don't need to be sitting down. They need to be standing up. They need to be able to walk around in order to read, because the physical engagement of walking combined with their reading enables them to digest the information. Well, they're not just reading, but they're comprehending as they're reading. But hubris says, well, we must be doing it right because of all the degrees I have on the wall. And this is what I was told at the John Dewey Inspired Teachers Colleges. So it must go this way. Pride blinds us to destruction. And here we are in the year of our Lord, 2026, where now you have universities saying that it's racist to expect certain ethnicities to communicate articulate and accurate English grammar. So that's what we're going to do. So we're not going to address the problems with teaching English properly. No, we're going to say it's racist to have an expectation for English to be understood properly. Man, do you see what I'm saying? Pride comes before destruction. Before destruction. How smart are we as a society? All of our founding documents are written in cursive, and yet we have an entire system of instruction that don't even teach children to read cursive anymore. I saw it with my own eyes. Went out of town to visit some folks, asked some of the 20-somethings, man, y'all come read this. They're like, I don't know what this is. If you can't read cursive, how are you going to read the founding documents for yourself? So you are by nature making yourself dependent on somebody to translate English to you just because it's written in cursive. Guys, pride precedes destruction. Destruction. But our hubris doesn't allow us to see it. So what the Lord said to us through the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Romans comes true in our generation. Professing to be wise, we become fools. Lord, open our eyes, because we've been blinded in many ways by our hubris.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
It's like all of creation was screaming, God is good. His goodness just flows from everything he created. But when the devil came to the garden, tempted Adam and Eve, his approach was, is God really good? And sadly, they kind of went along with his deception. They fell into sin. But the reality is, God's creation is good, and God is totally good. And so he can be totally trusted. So our worship and praise is acknowledging that he's good, even when we don't fully recognize or see what he's doing. On the other hand, complaining is, God, you're messing up. I'm not sure if you really are good in this situation. So I think clearly it's important to know complaining is never a good thing. It really is a way to curse something. Praise and worship, even though we may not fully understand what all is going on, it's so productive.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I want to mention that, I guess, 2 weeks from now, almost 3 weeks. Let me look at the calendar really quickly. In August 7th through the 9th, I will be returning to Darbone Church of Christ in Farmerville, Louisiana. For that weekend, we'll be ministering there. This is becoming almost an annual thing. Looking forward to being there again in North Louisiana. That will be August 7th through the 9th in Farmerville, Louisiana, at Darbone Church of Christ. August 7th through the 9th will begin Friday evening. There will be a Saturday evening session, and then Sunday morning I'll be ministering there as well, August 7th through the 9th. If you're in the area or willing to come to the area, mark your calendars because we will be there. All right. An example of what I'm talking about humanistic hubris that blinds us to impending destruction. And let me just say, what I'm talking about in the cultivation of the minds of our children, not one of us, I'm not among them that would say we shouldn't have standards. No, that's a completely ludicrous assertion. What I'm saying is that there are numerous ways to convey. And I'm saying that it's the responsibility of the parents to learn what is the best way to communicate and to pour into my child to cultivate their hearts and minds so that my child can be reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what I'm saying. But when you try to force everybody into the same way, and then say those who cannot comport with this way, then there must be something defective with them. That's what I'm saying is problematic. And that's what we've done as a society for how long now? Anyway, back to what I'm saying. A perfect example of what I'm saying. And this is, man, this is going to be hard for me to get through this because this is sad. I remember when I was a little boy reading the Bible, and the Bible said things like, as it was in the days of Noah, when the thoughts and intentions of man's hearts and minds were continually evil all the time, you know? And then Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be when he returns. I used to think, man, what? Could it really get that bad? Like, how would that happen? And I believe the Lord is allowing us to see right now. Right now we're living in it. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. That's the fundamental consideration of ethical consideration. You can. Should you? The story I'm going to share with you grievously now comes to us from Canada, where Canada has several just, you want to talk about hubris with the inability to see the destruction that's right in front of your face. Canada has several laws. Canada's Assist in Human Production Act. Canada's Medical Assistance in Dying Law. I mean, it's just absurd. So this story comes to us from Canada, where you had a homosexual couple who contracted with a surrogate to have a child. Now, the law would say, oh, no, you cannot pay for that in Canada. Although my understanding is that the contracts are usually confected with some type of remuneration. The surrogate is herself a single mom who's also a correctional officer. But because she wholeheartedly supports the zeitgeist of the day, she volunteered her services as a surrogate, signed up on one of the more popular Canadian sites to do so called Surrogacy in, I have it right here, Surrogacy in Canada Online. Yeah, Surrogacy in Canada Online. And when she signed up, put her profile up, she was inundated with messages from individuals seeking her. If you're watching the show, look at me. Services. Now think about this, guys. And assess this from the standpoint of, because you can do something, should you? This is a formula for the commodification and dehumanization of image bearers of God. This woman wanted to be a part of helping homosexuals have children, though they cannot do so naturally. So she wanted to use the technological advancement that is available in order to be a part of that. Well, as things progressed, she used in vitro fertilization to conceive a baby boy. And at a 22-week checkup, she is informed that the baby boy may have a cleft lip, a minor heart defect, and may have a cleft palate. The two homosexual men, upon learning this information, y'all already know where I'm going with this, they send a formal notice of termination to her. That notice said this, quote, considering that medical tests indicate that the fetus has or is likely to have a genetic chromosomal or other abnormality or defect, and in accordance with Article 8.5, subsection A of our surrogacy agreement, we want to inform you of our wish that the pregnancy be terminated, end quote. Mm-hmm. So you have a woman who is pregnant with this 22-week-old baby boy, carried him for 22 weeks at this juncture, and because of the possibility of a cleft lip, a cleft palate, possibility, again, and a minor heart defect. The homosexual men say you got to kill the baby. Well, she says, no, I don't want to kill the baby. This seems to be a very minor issue, even if it materializes, and she refuses to kill the baby. Well, things progress. They have subsequent checkups. The homosexual men are okay with the pregnancy continuing. Think about this. All of this stuff, as each component of this story, each time I convey a fact or consider a fact in my own mind, the warning signs are flashing. The warning signs are flashing in my heart and in my mind. Then the mom, and the mom ends up beefing with these homosexual men because they don't want to allow the mom to have a home birth with midwives. So they're arguing over that. Well, the mom delivers a healthy baby boy, and immediately, pursuant to the surrogacy contract, she's removed from the mom and taken by the homosexual men, the ones who wanted the baby boy killed, by the way. Now, the baby is 2 years old now. The baby was born in 2024. So why am I talking about this story now? Well, the homosexual men sued the mom. And they sued the mom for pain and suffering and emotional distress because the mom did not kill the child when they said the child should be killed. Now, you want to talk about a traumatic origin story. Can you imagine this little boy finding out that these two homosexual dudes wanted him killed? But not only that, they sued the mom. Because they wanted, guys, this is absurd. This is crazy town. Crazy town. The mom said when they took the baby, the homosexual men were supposed to reimburse her for expenses, lost wages, off work and all this other kind of stuff. But they didn't pay anything. She tried to get in contact with them. She tried to sue them in small claims court. Guys, these things shouldn't be involved in bringing a child into the world. But these are the kinds of things that are happening right now. We've commodified image bearers of God. We have eviscerated society. When I say we have, I'm talking about Western civilization now. Because thankfully, we're not that far gone in our country, but we're not far behind. We're not far behind. And I'm presenting this now to see how, because it seems wherever Canada and Europe goes, we're right behind them, not too far behind them. Here's a brief clip on this whole story, and I want to talk more about the ethical considerations in a piece-by-piece manner. This will solely be an audio clip covering this story. Listen to it's clip number six. Clip six. Go.
According to the Post, the couple alleges that the surrogate failed to keep them informed about the baby's health, putting the son at risk during delivery, violated confidentiality, and caused emotional distress. The dispute, though, reportedly began after a 22-week ultrasound. Doctors found that the baby had a cleft lip, a possible minor heart defect. The surrogate says the couple then asked her to terminate the pregnancy. She refused, saying she would not abort a baby over what she believed was a treatable condition. The couple reportedly agreed to continue the pregnancy, but the disagreements didn't end there. They, the same-sex couple, wanted the baby delivered at a hospital. The surrogate chose a home birth. During delivery, the baby reportedly experienced breathing difficulties and was taken to the hospital. He recovered. Today, that little boy is 2 years old. And according to the report, the surrogate denies these allegations. She says they stopped communicating with her and never reimbursed her for about $10,000 in expenses. She says she filed a small claims court to recover the money, and that couple has responded now with a civil suit.
What I didn't tell you is that the homosexual dudes are suing the mom for over $600,000. Now, guys, this is this is wild, man. This is wild. I remember years ago testifying in a Louisiana committee hearing when the state legislature was considering a bill concerning the passage of the marriage amendment. No, I didn't testify in this hearing. But I remember being in this hearing, and there were the president of the Louisiana Family Forum, Gene Mills, was testifying and explained that if we open the door to same-sex marriage, we are inevitably opening the door to innumerable deviations from God's standard. I remember being in the room when he said that there will be the normalization of transgenderism, there will be the normalization of pedophilia, there will be the normalization of child sexual abuse as a result of homosexual couples adopting children to abuse them. And that was prophetic. Thankfully, the bill passed. The state of Louisiana amended its state constitution, amended its laws to reflect that marriage is exclusive union of one man and one woman, and that was overturned by Obergefell in 2015. Guys, this is what we see happening. When did we become a society where we've had this radical mind shift where the concept of childbearing and reproduction was driven solely by what adults want, with no consideration whatsoever for a child. One of the major things, and I've heard the arguments, and I know where people are going. God designed for children to have a father and a mother. Children need a father and a mother. When children are thrust into a circumstance where they have, you know, homosexual couples purporting to be the child's parents, they are intentionally depriving that child of a mother or a father. No matter how you slice it, that's what's happening. We have data upon data upon data upon data that shows that the best circumstance for a child to be reared in is an environment where the child is growing up in the home with a married father and mother. You can say whatever you want about, you know, yeah, but this is okay. Yeah, but this is good. It's wild that Canada's law even says all families are equal. Their statute, the All Families Equal Act. I'm sorry to say that's not true. That is not true. That's not true. God has designed it, and our sociological data supports that the best environment and for a child to be reared, nurtured, and to thrive is when that child is reared in a home when his father is married to his mother. And the father and mother are rearing the child together. That's best for the child. That's best. Deviations from that are not equal. That's not a commentary on what your preferences might be as an adult. That's what's best for the child. So for you or anyone to come around and say, yes, but we have the All Families Equal Act, you know, because one family is just as good as another family. Not true. But it's like society has been collectively walloped in the head with a stupid stick. And because of political correctness, we can't say those kind of things out loud. Well, that's only one step in the analysis. We'll go a little bit further when we come back from the break. Man, this music is extra disrespectful, but I'm glad to be back in studio. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The God Who Speaks is a powerful message on the authority of Scripture in the voices of some of the most respected theologians of our day.
The most historic formula for the Christian church has been this: when the Scripture speaks, God speaks.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary which can empower Christians to share our faith and defend the authenticity of the Bible. Available at thegodwhospeaks.org or visit stream.afa.net.
I'm Tim Moore from Christ in Prophecy Radio. With all the uncertainty in the world, it's good to know God's promises never change. That's why each week we examine current events through the reliable lens of Bible prophecy. To hear hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. Central. Find out what's really going on, Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, here on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Guys, this is the type of chaos that follows when we reject God's way. Then you have this woman who is a single mom herself and is a corrections officer, yet she volunteers. She signs herself up, creates a profile to advertise, my womb is available. You can rent me. Undoubtedly, because she'd bought into the propaganda that says, oh, these types of people shouldn't be excluded from reproduction. Now, here's the thing. Nobody excluded them from anything. Their choices are what excluded them. But her primary concern, and this is what I'm talking about, as a society, we used to understand that our first line of concern should be for the child. But because of the intellectual degradation that Bobby was complaining about before we came on the air, we have been degraded as a society so much so to where children are regarded as nothing more than, you know, the accessories to adult lives, you know. I'll never forget when my wife and I, our first two children, our oldest is my son, then I had a daughter, and people would say to us, "Who, you got your two? You got your two?" And when they learned we were having another baby, they were like, "Why?" I can't tell you how the number of times I've seen that. Why? We've heard that. Why would you have another one? You already have your two. It's like, what? So we trying to design a family? Like, this is what we doing? You know? Because there's an undergirding, in some sense, there's an underlying notion that we view children as burdens and impediments to living the dream. And not just in society. I can't tell you how many churches I've been to that when my wife and I show up with our six children, the first time, first thing the churches want to do is send our children away from the sanctuary. Because they'll be a hindrance to the service. Now, I understand people's experiences, but there's an expectation that would often happen. They've never even met my children. They know nothing about my children or my family. But this is what they would do. And this woman signs up, creates a profile, and she's inundated immediately with requests to rent her womb. Should there not be some, you know, you go down the roads, there's speed bumps. And in certain areas where speeding is a major problem, they make the speed bumps real big, right? Shouldn't there be speed bumps toward this? Nah, we're running headlong into it. Then they're rocking and rolling. And because the homosexual men decide, oh, no, we don't want to risk having a trouble with the child. So we'll require you to kill the baby. Now, they know it's a baby. They knew it was a boy at that point. They knew. But no. See, we want a child without a cleft lip. And many of you listen to me, you know people who've had cleft lips. Many of you have experienced people that have cleft palates. And I know not all of them are the same. I understand that. But at best, is that not a superficial concern? At best? And the doctors are saying these are minor things. The heart thing that we found, we're just trying to be good medical professionals, trying to be aware of all of the possibilities, but this is minor. And they go, no, we want you to kill that child. And they just, with no, guys, each of these are transgressions against God's design for us. And we don't recognize just how degraded, depraved, and satanic all of these considerations are. And here's the rub. We think we're a modern society. We certainly are modern in terms of contemporary time frames, but we are retrograde, regressive in terms of our ascertaining the quality of human life. This is why I would tell people all the time, you do realize it was Christianity that introduced the concept of the sanctity of human life into society. The Greeks and the Romans were barbarians. They would toss children away like it was nothing. It's the Christians that would literally patrol the Roman streets for children that would be born, and they would, what they call it, expose them. newborns who weren't wanted, they would literally just put them on the street like you're bringing a trash can to the curb and just let the child die. And it's the Christians who would, on roving patrols, pick up these children because it was the Christians who recognized that they're made in God's image. But we are allowing in 21st century Western civilization our technological advancements to bring us right back to those barbaric conditions. Then these dudes have the audacity to sue her. Now the baby is 2 years old. They don't have any hesitation about, and you know, we want to sue because we told this woman to kill you. The 2-year-old that's in their home. We told this woman to kill you and she didn't kill you, so we want to sue her for $600,000. Guys, this is wild. This is wild. This is wild. But this is where we are. And this is what happens. This is what I'm saying, that hubris is blinding. It's blinding. The Chinese thought they were really rocking and rolling when they came up with their one-child policy. And then they realized, oh, snap. I mean, we wanted to have enough soldiers that weren't willing to die, but now we don't have enough women to marry. And we told our society that having children is such a burden, and now they're voluntarily refusing to reproduce. And then think about this. We got all this going on at the exact same time. You now have people designing, like, purses and handbags to carry poodles and dogs. And they wouldn't, if somebody said, oh, your dog, the nose is wrong, you need to kill your dog, people would be like, you monster. But to kill a baby, it ain't nothing to them. Nothing to them. And it shouldn't be surprising because I mentioned this is happening in Canada, where in Canada they have the MAID law, M-A-I-D, Medical Assistance in Dying. It was passed in 2016. Do you realize that the most recent data we have dates back to 2024? We don't even have 25 and 26 of data yet, but there was almost 80,000 people who were killed in Canada under this law. And, you know, when they started it, they said, you know, originally MAID applicants had to be 18 years old or older and suffering from grievous and irremediable medical condition causing enduring physical or psychological suffering that was intolerable to them. So even that, like, it's a subjective standard, but you have a grievous condition to where the enduring physical or psychological suffering, you heard that? The enduring physical or psychological suffering is intolerable. So they're gonna say it's easy to kill you. And here's one of the things. The entire socialized medical care system was created by a eugenicist. You want some homework? Tommy Douglas. Go look him up. Tommy Douglas. He's a eugenicist. They don't care about people made in the image of God. They want to get rid of the useless eaters you see. I mean, hey, it'd be easier to do socialism when there's fewer people to socialize, to provide for. So what started out with, and look, that was wicked when it started. Because you have a condition from which your psychological suffering is intolerable. So you can kill yourself. With our help, we, the government, will help you. Well, immediately, the MAID law was used to give the green light to effectively execute people struggling with anxiety of different types, autism, depression, even economic hardship, PTSD, and other survivable issues. You had people signing up to kill themselves under MAID in Canada because they had an economic hardship. It's one of the leading causes of death in Canada right now as I'm talking to you. They've let this horrible, horrible law out of the bag. And now they want to try to claw it back. Oh, no, we don't want people just because they had a bad breakup. Now they want to kill themselves. We don't want that to happen anymore. Now they've already killed thousands of people. Why am I saying this, guy? Pride precedes destruction, but that pride is often blinding. You understand what I'm saying? And the ones ensnared by it often cannot see that they're setting the course for their own demise. And this all unfolds by deviating from one thing. That is that all men are made in God's image, that there is a sanctity that should be afforded to human life that we should be very, 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 very reluctant to encroach upon God's image bearers in this fashion. Well, hey, but you know, what do you say about the person not religious? Guys, can we just be real about something? There's no such thing as a non-religious person. Religion simply means that you have a deeply held set of beliefs. Every person has a deeply held set of beliefs. Every person does. Every person does. Well, hey, we can't legislate morality. I get what you're saying, but can you understand something real quick? All legislation is ultimately based on someone's morality. Do you understand that? Like the big pitch for the communists in America, and they call themselves democratic socialists, had another clip I'm not going to be able to get to it in time. I'll hold it for tomorrow because they're coming flat out. You know, it's a colloquial term in our society now, McCarthyism. Do y'all remember what Joseph McCarthy postulated? McCarthy postulated that they're communists in our country and they're trying to use our laws to turn America into a communist country. And they poo-pooed McCarthy and, oh, he's a wackadoodle, he's this. Same thing with Lieutenant Colonel Allen West. Remember? They're communists. They're trying to use the Democrats to bring communism in. Oh, and then you just wait, and then guess what happened? Oh, now we have socialists. Oh, no, but wait. They're different because they're democratic socialists.
So were the Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. They're socialists, just like, you know, the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, you know? They're Democrat socialists, you know, like Hugo Chavez. You know, Democrat socialists like Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua, who, by the way, just announced there are no more elections in Nicaragua. Nah, no more. We're just not going to have them. Guys, when we reject God's way, that is an exercise of pride and hubris. It is. And it is destructive. We often just don't see it. Don't see it. And now the Democrat socialists are coming flat out and saying, hey, you know, we really here. We're using the Democrat Party. But we don't agree with them jokers. We're using them because they're more receptive to our message. They're using the Democrat Party just like the Islamists are using the Democrat Party. They know we don't rock with homosexuals. The Islamists don't rock with the homosexuals. But, hey, they'll let us in. They'll let us run. And, guys, these things are happening, and it all boils down to a fundamental rejection of what God said. The whole quote, Medicare for All, do you realize that is our policy argument based on a moral footing? Do you realize that? The moral footing that they sell it with is no one should have to pay for medical care. That's a moral assertion. Their corollary is if you have to pay for medical care, that is wrong. Oh, what? Wrong and right? Oh, that's a morality determination. The question is not whether or not you can, quote unquote, legislate morality. Well, not shouldn't say the question. The issue is not. The issue is whose morality is going to be legislated, because all legislation is anchored upon a moral assertion. It is my position that mankind is best served by discerning God's will as he's revealed himself in Scripture and aligning ourselves with his view of his world.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.